In January, the church celebrates two minor festivals. On January 18th, the church celebrated the confession of St. Peter, and on January 25th, the church celebrated the conversion of St. Paul. Now, in the sixth week in the season of Pentecost, we again look toward St. Peter and St. Paul. Now, out of the three festivals, this is the oldest of them. And it not only celebrates the men, but it celebrates their equality, their confession, and their calling. These two men of the church, who received grace and strength, and in receiving these gifts, confessed the faith, and were given the strength to lay down their lives for Christ. The majority of you in Cramer Chapel have committed yourselves to serving Christ and His church as you train at Concordia Theological Seminary. As you are preparing to serve the church, you will also be asking for the strength to confess the truth. Are you ready for this task? During these next few months, many men from this seminary will be ordained and installed as servants of the church. They will be asked to confess the faith of the church out loud as they are ordained and installed into the church as her pastors. Deaconesses will also be serving and assisting the church in her work as they complete their internships. On their own, these students of the seminary would be unable to speak this confession of faith unless they had first received the gift of salvation from Christ. The gift of salvation is free to you, God's people, as it comes to you through the waters of baptism, the proclamation of the word, and the body and blood of our Lord. These are the gifts that our Lord left the church and her under-shepherds, pastors, to care for his people. The same gifts you share in our community parishes on Sunday and in this chapel daily. Recently, the United Church of Christ found itself in another controversy. Now, let's face it, for the UCC, controversy has been part of their recent history as they continued their deliberate commitment to very liberal theological stances and seems every social movement. Known for their universalistic stance on God, it isn't uncommon to see banners like the one at our local UCC church, One World Under God, complete with symbols from every major religious group, including Islam, Hindu, and Buddhism. Yet this year at their convention, they will most likely vote down a simple resolution that states, Jesus is Lord. Why would this simple resolution fail? Well, one pastor explained it this way in a recent newspaper article. We have significant numbers of clergy who do not believe in God. Deny God? Deny Christ? Can you imagine? A church without a confession, without a creed, without scriptures, is nothing more than an idle building collecting dust, a social club for lost souls. Could you ever deny Christ? Do you really have the power to control your tongue, your thoughts, and feeling? And can you resist the temptation to abandon it all and run away from the church? Run away from the confession of Christ? Run away from the truth? Well, what may seem like an impossibility can easily become a reality, even to those who have been called into the service of Christ. St. Peter did it. He denied Christ three times. Are you stronger, and do you have more faith than St. Peter? Who do you say I am? This is the greatest question you can ever face. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is Peter's ringing confession, a confession given to him by the Father. Jesus' messianic identity and divinity, the mystery hidden from eternity, cannot be truly known by your own reason, but only by God's revelation. Christ means the Anointed One. Christ is the Son of the living God, whom the Father has anointed with the Holy Spirit. David says in the Psalms, "Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companion." Isaiah, speaking in the name of the Lord, says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." Peter as the rock is really a play on the word rock in both the Aramaic and Greek. How can the church be built on a man? It can't. Rock must refer to Peter, not to Peter himself, but to the confession of his faith. The true rock and foundation of the church is, of course, Christ himself. Rome missed the point by emphasizing the man, Peter, and the office over the man, Christ. St. Augustine writes to the heart of the matter. "Therefore, Peter is so called from the rock, not the rock from Peter, as Christ is not called Christ from the Christian, but the Christian from Christ. That is upon myself, the Son of the living God, will I build my church. I will build thee upon myself, not myself upon thee." The church rests upon this rock by her unchanging faith, her confession, her creed. With this faith as the foundation, the gates of Hades, the powers of death, are powerless against her. Historically, in the Old Testament, gates suggested a fortified city. Hence, by shattering the gates, Christ is opening the stronghold of death to set free the souls of righteous men. In all the Gospels, the word church is only mentioned twice. She, the church, is the body of Christ, the divine human organism, and to her comes the call of Christ for the whole of mankind to abide with Christ and in Christ. Yet Christ does something else in this text. Christ continues to set up his church as he prepares for his passion. This is the church you seminarians are studying to serve, the church in which you men will be called to be an under-shepherd to Christ, as Peter is called. This is the same calling that the other disciples also received, the keys of the kingdom, Christ's gift to his church, this special authority given to Peter himself, but never separated from his confession of faith. While Peter was a leader of the disciples and of the early church, all the apostles were empowered with Christ's authority. Further, Peter was not a leader over the others, but a leader among them, as seen at the Council of Jerusalem in the book of Acts, where elders or presbyters met with the apostles as equals, binding and loosing the administrative powers of the apostles that reside in the church. Pastors-to-be, are you prepared for this calling, for this life? Men and women, everyone who plans to serve needs to look to their Heavenly Father. Look to his church for your joy, for your comfort, and for your peace, because it can't come from any other place. If you mourn, wash. If you struggle, pray. If you question, eat. It is this place, Cramer Chapel, that our Lord will meet you and care for you. When that day arrives for you to confess, you, like Peter, can confess boldly and confidently, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.